What's the most important resource that you have? If you really thought about this deeply, I think you'd come to the same conclusion that Joey and I did. It's time. In our newest book, What's Without Wall Street, The 3 Steps to Financial Freedom Through Passive Income, we talk about how are we tracking that time? What is the thing that we can do to get more of that time back?
That's right. If you've ever been listening to our podcast and thought, man, it would be amazing if I could take all the things that you guys have learned over the last 10 years and just summarize them, put them in some way to easily digest them and take action, that's what this book is all about. You're not going to want to miss it. Go to wealthwithoutwallstreet.com/newbook and get your copy today.
Welcome to the Wealth Without Wall Street podcast, your guide to understanding how to get out of the Wall Street rat race and start your own mailbox money lifestyle. Now, don't let these handsome Southern draws fool you. These financial minds are teaching our country to enhance savings, increase cash flow, and create passive income, all without the help of Wall Street. Are you ready to break through? Now here are your hosts, Russ Morgan and Joey Murray.
Welcome. This is the Wealth Without Wall Street podcast. Your host, Joey, the Italian Stallion Murray, joined as always by Russ, the idea guy Morgan. Russ, finding a good piece of land is no easy feat. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you.
So you've been looking for a while. Did you close on it?
Well, we haven't closed, but we have been in search for the Holy Grail, the piece of land that doesn't need $100,000 worth of work to find a driveway. Or up on top of a mountain, or that you can't get to from with a little Avalon like I drive. Well, you know it from your experience finding land.
Yeah, everything you just said I've done, right? It was on a mountain, didn't have a driveway, and it cost every bit of $100,000, if not more, in dirt work and site excavation in order to get at that point. It's expensive, man. But when you own some land, when you have some dirt, man, it's yours. There's some value there.
That's absolutely. And that's the thing I'm learning through this process is that people put value on land in different things. It's your use. It's for how long you're going to keep it for. There's emotional attachments to it. I mean, if we're going to build our dream house, like this is our long, long, long-term house, the value of the land is really, I mean, whatever the price tag is today doesn't really matter as much as long as you know that it's going to meet the needs of where the house is going to sit and where it's located and all these kind of things. There's just tons more to consider.
Yeah. I mean, outside of living on a volcano island like Hawaii, for instance, they're not making any more of it. It is limited resource. It is something that you can do what you want to on it. And if your neighbors are far enough away, you can walk out in your underpants. I did that this morning.
Or without underpants.
I don't suggest that. That scares the kids.
So, as you know, we're talking about land. We're talking back to Mark Podolsky, the land geek. If you're going to talk about land, you might as well talk to the guy that knows about all sorts of different land, right?
Well, knows about how to actually make a profit from it. There's a lot of real estate investment ideas that we've had on the show. There's been all sort of areas where there's note investing, real estate investing, that's rental, that's commercial, that's multifamily, on and on.
Self storage, so on.
Mobile home parks. But this is one of the most unique ones that we have. We brought him back on for the second time. One, because it was actually the most downloaded show we've had in the last 12 months. So it meant, hey, somebody else is very interested in this. We probably had to ask some better questions this time. I don't know if we did. But it was a fun interview.
Absolutely. There was a lot of things that we left out the first time. So we heard a lot of feedback from clients and other people saying, I'm really interested in that. I want to learn more. So we get really practical in this call where we're going deeper in the process. How does somebody go from, okay, this is a great idea, to actually getting that first mailbox money paycheck?
Well, you and I are very interested in this, and we kind of talk about this on the show, but just full disclosure, like we want to do this, but the biggest thing that's prevented me from jumping into this is just not having the time. He talks about having 10 to 15 hours a week to dedicate to it. And I don't have 10 to 15 hours. I have very few 10 to 15 minutes a day available when I'm not doing what we're doing because I'm going to spend it with family, but we're kind of thinking about it in a different route and that maybe there's an option for us.
Yeah, maybe you've been thinking this too. Like, if I could figure out a way to make this more passive from day one, maybe I could spend some time, maybe some money towards this and see if I can't turn on some more passive income.
Yeah, so if you're as interested in the first interview we did with Mark Podolsky, and this one should not let you down, but also don't forget, we're going to have a live Q&A with him inside the community. So if you're not already a member, go ahead and join.
Community.wealthwithoutwallstreet.com. We'll see you on the inside. Let's go ahead and jump straight into the interview with Mark Podolsky. Have you been listening to our podcast and wondering, am I the only person that knows about infinite banking? Or what about the five pillars of Wealth Without Wall Street? How can I learn more? Now is your chance. You can join the community that is learning this across the country.
Go to community.wealthwithoutwallstreet.com where you can access Q&As with all our podcast guests and live group coaching with some of the top experts from across the nation. And yes, I'm throwing in the Stallion and I in that. Community.wealthwithoutwallstreet.com. Sign up.
Welcome back, man. So glad to have Mark Podolsky here, the land geek, in studio again.
Russ, Joey, thank you guys so much. I'm honored. I'm humbled to be back. Wealth Without Wall Street. I love it. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, since our last time we talked, and it was a famous podcast, I don't know if we shared this with you, Mark, in pre-show, but your podcast, I was looking over the last 12 months, is the most downloaded podcast that we have in Wealth Without Wall Street history, man.
So we had to have you back.
Well, I'm flattered. I am absolutely flattered. Wow.
Yeah, I wanted to see your face when I shared that. You mentioned in your book, Dirt Rich, how you would used to open your acceptance letters and you'd do it virtually. You would record it so people could see your expressions. I wanted to see your expression of knowing that you were the most downloaded podcast in our short 2-year history.
Unbelievable. And I was just saying to Joey how fragile my ego is. This is phenomenal.
Well, I know that from the business that you're in, that you send out a ton of letters to people to try to purchase land. And if you haven't listened to the first episode, the most downloaded episode in the last 12 months, you absolutely have to go back and listen to Flipping Land. But this is going to be more of a 2.0. This is also going to be from a perspective of listening to your book, Dirt Rich. I don't read a whole lot of books anymore, but riding down the road, listening to it.
Audible.
You as the author, I think you do an excellent job. You know your material. Well done. I really get hacked off with authors who don't read their own stuff. They think that somebody else is going to do it better and they mispronounce things. They don't know when to enunciate and to share the real passion of the moment.
Emphasize.
And, yeah. And do that. You did an awesome job. So I want to dig into the book a little bit, but for those who don't know about land flipping, give us a 30-second, 60-second. What does the land geek do full-time basis?
Yeah. So I actually buy raw land, 25, 30 cents on the dollar. I flip that land. I want to get my cost of capital out with on the down payment or within 6 months of the down. And then I want to make it a car payment. So let's say anywhere between $149 to $499 a month to pay off that note. So essentially I'm cash flowing land like you would any other real estate, but I have no renters, no rehabs, no renovations, no rodents, because I'm not dealing with a tenant. I'm exempt from Dodd-Frank, RESPA, or the SAFE Act, any of this onerous real estate legislation.
Well, and that's huge, because we do have a lot of real estate investors, and those are the things that they complain about. And when they're in the...
You mentioned no toilets too, right? And you said
no toilets, no termites, no tenants, no trash.
Lots of value in that. And you're not, when you're flipping land, you're not talking about 20,000 acres. You're talking what size properties?
Yeah. I mean, our average costs are between, let's say, 5,000 to 20,000. And we're not talking real, you know, Russ and Joey money here. We're talking small dollars. I mean, I've got clients, they'll buy a lot for $500 and they'll sell it on easy terms, 99 down, 99 a month at you know, $2,000-$3,000. So our average ROI is 300% to 1,000%. And the reason that this is, you know, such a phenomenal little niche is it's the least sexy niche in real estate. You won't go on HGTV, the DIY network, and see me on Flip This Land. It's the before pictures are all in, the after pictures are all in. So, you know, that's number one. Number two is it's inefficient. So nobody really knows the value of their raw land. So in a way, we're making the market. And having that 300% margin of safety when we price our offers, that's really where we make our money. I mean, everybody, you know, it's a cliche, but in real estate, you make your money on the buy.
Sure. And it's funny that, you know, that we're talking about this because I was listening to your book and you were talking about your background in the kind of dental brokerage, practice management, and business. And my wife being a dentist, it just connected me with me so much on your subject that you focused in on that helped you kind of say, hey, I got to figure out how to get out of this. And that was the solo economic business model. What did you call it? The solo economic dependence.
Solo economic dependency, which means if you are not working, you are not making any money. And so if a dentist, a doctor, graphic designer, any freelancer, anyone with a job, right? That does not scale. You don't scale. Your wife's hands, unfortunately, unless she was an octopus, she wouldn't be able to scale. Even at eight hands, she still wouldn't be able to scale the way that she'd want to. And so oftentimes we'll look at, you know, let's just pick on the dentist. Let's say they make $400,000 a year, right? We can say that they're rich or they don't have necessarily money problems, but they're not wealthy. And real wealth means that they can wake up when they want to, they can work with whom they want to, and they can work where they want to. So without that, that's not wealth. And I think our model and what you guys preach is real wealth. Getting up when you want to get up. Like I remember the first time I didn't have my investment banking job and I got sick. It was unbelievable feeling not to have to get on the phone and call HR. I'm like, I'm just sick. It was.
Yeah, exactly.
So really, you know, we can always make more money, but we can't get more time. And so that time wealth is, I would argue, more important than solving necessarily money problems, because there's lots of ways to solve those issues with money. And the having the passive income solves your money problems, but also creates real wealth.
Well, we know that what you're saying is true, because even if you have earned a substantial income, if you don't have those time freedoms, you're always feeling like there's something more I'm missing, right? Because in some people that don't have that income, look to that person, like you said, the dentist that may be making $400,000, they say, oh, they must have it figured out. You know, they have it all figured out. But really, reality, how many people do we talk to, Russ, that are in that dental position or a physician or whatever it might be, and they're asking us, how do I get out of this?
Yeah, the pressure to hold the burden, as you said, they are solely economic dependent on their ability to do that one job. I mean, it is true in our business, Mark. There's so many people, and I remember just listening through your book, it sounded like you had a mentor, Raj, if that was, I'm correct
in
that.
Yeah, Raj. Yeah, he was brilliant. MBA, chemical engineer, and we would go on these long drives together to meet with dentists, and we'd always talk about what's the perfect business.
Yeah, and he had five things. Remind Joey of what those five things are.
So number one was no physical inventory.
Yeah.
Number two was low competition, high margins. Number three was a recurring revenue stream. So one-time sale, recurring revenue. Number four was built-in pain to break that recurring revenue stream. And number five, I forgot what number five was. What was it?
Well, you lumped two together there, didn't you? You said
I think it was low competition and high margins.
High margin was the other. Yeah, I was like, those things don't really go together, but you can lump them together.
Well, I just remember as I was thinking of what you were talking about, what Raj's models was and the solo economic dependency. I struggle with words. One, making them up. Two, pronouncing them accurately. So don't let that throw you off. I don't want you to slip on the treadmill laughing at me. For those who you're not watching this live, Mark walks on a treadmill when he does interviews. This is his gig. But the thing that I remembered of that is that that is our business model. I mean, a lot of the people who are listening to you are people in my industry and Joey and I's industry who are solo financial advisors. They're literally out there. They're the ones doing the marketing. They're the ones taking the application. They're the ones following up on service. And we see their pain constantly. And they're asking us, like, how do I get to a position where all you're doing is talking on a podcast? When you're just doing group coaching in this community, like, how do I get to that model? And that's kind of what you're saying is that Raj's concept was you got to be in a position where you have low competition, high margins. It's not dependent on just your one efforts. And that is what creates something that is what I'm going to kind of allude to, as you said in your book, the Alice in Wonderland analogy of the Red Queen's race, right?
Right. Yeah, absolutely. So you're running and running as fast as you can, but you're not getting anywhere.
All right.
And eventually it's, you know, it's terrible burnout. So, you know, it was so funny because back when we were discussing this, you know, I would make the argument, I would say to Raj, I'm like, you know, Microsoft is the best model. And we would kind of analyze the software industry having no physical inventory, essentially, even though I guess at that time Office would send out a disk, right. But they had huge margins. They had a monopoly. It was that one-time sale, and then you would just keep renewing type of thing. But what we didn't see was the constant capital infrastructure that Microsoft would have to keep going at to keep developing and keep improving. So Raj would like cut that down. So we kind of go through all these companies at that time. And finally we decided, okay, we found the best model, the best passive income model. And do you guys know what it was?
What?
Life insurance. Life insurance.
Yeah. Wow.
One time sale. You get recurring income every single month as long as they keep paying. It's got, you know, pretty good margins depending on what you do. Everyone has to have it essentially for the most part, but it's no fun and there is competition. But the great thing about life insurance was it's just an idea. You didn't have to go out and buy anything. It was literally just an idea. So I would argue that my model is the second best passive income model because you actually have to go out and buy the raw land.
What if we use our model to buy into your model? Is that like 1 + 2 = 3? I mean, is that...
That's 1 + 2 = 100.
Well, we love that. I mean, because I will say that that is something that, you know, one, you say life insurance is no fun. I think for 99.99% of the life insurance agents you meet on the road, they would exude that no fun mentality because they are needle nose Ned from Groundhog's Day coming at you like a hawk trying to get you to buy something. It's a beautiful thing when you actually show people how to finance everything they buy using this tool that nobody likes. And they ask you, can I give you $500,000? Can I give you $1 million? How much, what's the maximum I can put in this stuff? So when we do it, it's a lot more fun, but it's also become, it's a lot more to it, right? There was a lot more education and process that had to be.
Well, and there's a lot less competition when you're talking about from that angle, because not many people know how to use it in that way.
They don't use it that way.
Now it's not about me dying. Now it's about me living and getting wealthy as a vehicle.
Absolutely.
Versus, you know. I don't want to really think about my death.
Well, like you said, there's probably not a HGTV show or, you know, a Forbes article waiting for Joey and I showing people how they spend their death benefit while they're still living. But that's for another day. We want to get back to land flipping.
Stay tuned, guys. I think I see a Netflix show coming.
That's right. Well, there's documentaries out there. So this land flipping, I just took down some notes as I was riding down the road. Verbally, I wasn't writing them.
Thank you for clarifying that, Russ.
And there's some things that really intrigue me. So I want to kind of go 2.0 on this. For those of you who didn't listen to the first podcast, go back and listen to it. We're going to have some opportunity for you to kind of get into a Q&A. But some of the things that I took away was, okay, I want to get into this. I want to be a land flipper. And Joey and I have researched this for the last year since you were on our podcast. We almost partnered with somebody and didn't. We're very close to doing another deal with somebody that's going to help us implement because we are not solely economic dependent in our business, but it requires a lot of our time to operate the three businesses that we're in. And now this is something that we're interested in. So I want to get some advice. I want some help. Okay. You ready?
I'm ready.
All right. One, I want to know some of the different methods that I can go about to acquiring property. So you mind walking me through some of those?
So what I would do, the first thing I would do is get a list. So you go to the county assessor and you want to get a list of all the real property owners in that county. Now, if we rewind it even before that, there's 3,007 U.S. counties. Which county do I go to? And it's going to be counterintuitive, but you want to go where other land investors are. So go to where the competition is, because then you know definitively deals are being done there. And to find that competition, you can go to like landandfarm.com, landmodo.com, landflip.com, you know, anything like that. So now you pick your county, you get your list. Then we're going to scrub our list. We want to get rid of the residential homes, the commercial, industrial. We can do it just by use code VL for vacant land. Then we want to batch our list by APN, assessor's parcel number, or neighborhood, essentially, because you'll see that they'll be kind of broken up by neighborhood. And then we're also going to break it up by acreage, because if I send somebody with 40 acres the same offer as somebody with 1 acre, they're going to send me back glitter in the mail. That's no good. No bueno. No bueno.
All right.
So then we're going to price our list. Then we send out our offers. We're going to use our software to do that. But if you don't, you know, have that software, you could use something like clicktomail.com. You could use lob.com. Any way you want to do it, you know, again, the whole idea being we can always make more money. We can't get more time. We want to automate this process. The offers go out. We want to expect about a 3 to 5% response rate. So on our first batch of offers, if we get below a 3% response rate, we know our offer was too low. If it's over 5%, Joey's getting nervous and saying, Russ, what the hell, man? Too high.
We're offering too much.
Nuts. So then you have to retrade. And so Joey's like, Russ, get on the phone and tell him we're going to do due diligence, but we might have been a little high by about $1,000. You know, set that, you know, put that seed in their mind. Go through your due diligence. So we outsource it to our team in the Philippines that has access to a US-based title company. They'll do our title. They'll make sure the back taxes aren't too high. We still have margin in the deal. They'll confirm that they still own the property. No breaks in the chain of title. No liens or encumbrances. And this is for a deal that's $5,000 or less. $5,000 or more, we're going to close through a title company. We're not going to take the risk. Now we buy the property from the seller. And then you guys know, we have a built-in best buyer, remember?
Yep, that's the land, the guy living next door.
The neighbors. We're going to send out our neighbor letters. We're going to go to our buyers list. We're going to go to Craigslist. We're going to go to Facebook buy-sell groups, Marketplace. We're going to landmodo.com, landandfarm.com, the lands. We're going to sell this property 30 days or less by making it irresistible. So we want to get our money out on the down payment or within 6 months, then make it a car payment. $449 a month, 9% interest over 84 months. And essentially, we're going to use a software called geekpay.io to create that down payment and send off that link to our buyer. And then we're going to have a set it and forget it system to collect via check every single month in GeekPay. But if the check fails, it'll hit their credit card on file. So using this software, our default rate will go from 8% to 4%. Now, if we're going to get into the weeds, we're going to use a purchase sale agreement, a promissory note, and a land sale contract. A land sale contract means that property stays in our name until they pay off that note. Now, if they default, then they have 30 days to cure. But if they don't cure it, we keep the down payment. We keep all their monthly payments. We resell it to another buyer. No costs of foreclosure.
And I love that. All right. So I'm going to back up. You got to the finish line. And I appreciate that because I'm one of those that like to see where I'm going. And I love to see that timeline. But let's back up a little bit. I want to go back to you sent a letter out. Help me understand, what does the letter say?
Well, the letter says, here's an offer for your property. Here's your name. Here's your legal description. Here's the size of the property. Here's your offer based on these contingencies. So we have an out if they accept it, based on due diligence, based on the back taxes not being too high. So let's say that I make an offer to Joey and I offer him $5,000 for this 40-acre parcel in Texas and the back taxes are $500. Well, then Joey nets $4,500 on that deal. And the other $500 then goes to the county treasurer for back taxes. Right.
And when you listening to your book, the letter is not a negotiation. The letter is an offer. So you're expecting back a signed agreement saying yes.
Exactly. I don't want to be in the appraisal business like those housing guys. They say, I'm interested in buying your house. I'm interested in selling my house. Well, let's negotiate. No, this is how much I'm going to pay for your property. And oftentimes we'll have an intake manager get very angry calls. Great. Don't sell the property. That's fine.
So I have a follow-up question as well. When you said send out the letters and then you mentioned some different software, is that like where you're literally loading in a bunch of addresses and they're automatically being sent out on your behalf?
Exactly. So we have an Excel spreadsheet or a CSV we upload into our software. They're automatically getting address verified and then mailed out via first class mail in batches. So I want to do like maybe 20 a day or 50 a day or 100 a day, just so I'm not overwhelmed with all this due diligence coming back to me.
Okay. So let's just say hypothetically, there was two business owners that were super interested in this concept, but lacked a lot of detail and discipline to do all the research.
Very handsome though.
And they wanted at least one of them. It's very handsome. And the other one is good with questions. I'll let you determine in this hypothetical scenario who that could be. But let's say that they wanted to hire an intern, you know, a smart intern, somebody who was, say, in engineering school to do this. What would be the feedback you'd give them? Is it possible that you can offload this to someone else?
You'd have to really sell them on this concept that the first year you're going to starve and just say, look, this is just life.
Intern or the two business owners?
No, the intern.
Okay.
Because the two business owners in the beginning don't have enough inventory at the outset to support the intern.
Yeah.
So the intern ideally will have a bunch of inventory right away to sell and make a percentage on that for his efforts. And eventually get to, let's say, 8,000, 10,000, 12,000 a month in, you know, commissions every single month. Because it's like it starts building and compounding as you guys build your node portfolio. He gets a slice of it essentially for doing all the work. Yeah. So, but in the beginning, it's very tough. So I would say that if I were you guys, because you have more money than time.
Hypothetically, us.
Hypothetically.
Hypothetically. Or two business owners, let's say, I would go to the wholesale market. So I'd go to guys like, you know, in our Facebook group, let's say, and say, hey, look, here's 3,000 land investors. You guys need money to keep doing more deals. Who wants to sell me 100 parcels wholesale? So you're not going to make 300 to 1,000%. You're probably going to make 200 to 800%, but you've just eliminated a big part of the business, which is the mailing. You also eliminated the due diligence because they're providing you the due diligence. You're just double checking it. You've created a marketing package because they gave it to you through the due diligence. And now you can feed your intern from day one because you already acquired all these properties and you didn't do it sort of the way that I'm teaching it. You're doing it the quick and sort of easier way, if you will. I've got a course coming out called Wholetailing, which is basically this concept of buying wholesale and then selling retail.
Wholetailing.
I like that. I can't spell it, but I like it.
All right. So the other part of this, if we want to learn your method, and by we, the intern, right. How much time does someone need to dedicate to this? If they weren't running a full-time job, right? They weren't right. In a normal scenario and they said, okay, I want to go learn the MARC process. Tell me, like, how much time do they need to devote to this? How long's the course? What do I need to do from there? Like, what's the right. ramp up time to becoming, full speed at this?
Yeah. So, you know, ideally, those two business owners would fund that person into what we call Flight School Live. And they would learn in 3 days how to do all this. They would mail, they would market, they would sell in 3 days.
Okay.
And then there they would get a year worth of support. Now, if those business owners were pinching pennies, then they might go to send that person to flight school, which is 14 weeks of, or 16 weeks of virtual training with a coach who's, you know, killing it. He's over 50 grand a month in passive income, and really knows the business. Or if they're really, really just putting their toe in the water, they would just invest in our investor's toolkit, which is a online course. Now an online course is included with the other two trainings. So it's sort of like, hey, does this kid have the discipline to wake up at 4 a.m, go to the gym by 5, knows exactly how to work out and be out of there by 6? That's do it yourself. Is this kind of kid that wants to have a group training and likes to take a personal training class with a group? That's flight school. Is this kind of kid that, you know, wants to take steroids and do group training? That's flight school live. Right. And then we have one-on-one coaching from there.
And flight school live, is that in a specific location?
That is. Right now it's in Tampa. And we have dates every quarter.
It happens to be in Tampa.
Yeah.
Is there between a reason Tampa for Tampa? You're in Arizona, right?
Well, look, I don't scale. We have our coaches teaching it.
There you go.
Yeah.
Very nice. Very nice. Okay. So someone has started this process and they're trying to get to we have a common theme here recently. I want to replace $120,000 a year of income, $10,000 a month passive income. What would it take as far as the average size piece of land, purchase transactions to get to that sort of an income?
Yeah, build a plan to somebody getting to $10,000 a month.
Whether they're part-time or full-time, it doesn't matter.
What does that look like? I'm sure this isn't the first time somebody said that to you.
So Roberto Chavez, he did it in a year. He's one of my coaching clients. He's a full-time attorney, and he works about 10 to 15 hours a week in his land investing business, and his average note is between $200 and $300. So essentially, if we take 10,000 and divide it by 300, how many deals does that get us?
A little over 30, right?
Like 30 to 50?
Yeah.
Okay, so now if we look at that, if we're doing, let's say, 100 offers a week, 400 a month, and let's just say we're getting a 1% response rate. Let's just make it super conservative. That's 4 deals a month, correct?
Right. Yeah.
So 4 times 12 is 48 deals. So at 48 deals times 200, we're about there in about a year.
Yeah. Okay.
Pretty easy.
And how much cash am I bringing to the table to do 48 deals in a year? How much capital am I going to need?
Well, I mean, it just depends on what you're going after and the deals. So Roberto's self-funding because he doesn't need the income for it. So he just kind of keeps reinvesting. Other people will use what I think is the best way to do it, which is other people's money. You find a friend, they're earning 0% in their bank. You're making 300 to 1,000%. Borrow 10%, borrow 2%, borrow 5%, 10%, 12%, 15%.
Or if you have a friend who's earning 4 or 5% in their life insurance contract and you borrow it out at 10%, they double their whammy and you're off to the races.
Yeah, you have to use leverage. You have to use other people's time. You have to use other people's money. That's the only way to get wealthy in this world. One of my favorite quotes is, you can't penny pinch yourself into wealth. You can't penny pinch your way into wealth. You can penny pinch your way into sustenance, but not wealth.
And that's so true. That there's a group out there that lives on this, live like no other, so you can live like no other. And we know that that doesn't lead to a life of prosperity, but a life of scarcity. And so we have to find ways to use other. I mean, going back to the original conversation on the solo economic dependency, right? We can't be solely dependent on our economics. And that goes into money and our labor and efforts and other things. And there are ways to build up, you know, assets that can be at work for us while borrowing against them. And our client base knows very well about those. So, all right. So there's some ways for us to get access to some of these tools. You were just layering some of those out for us. I know whenever we get you into the community, we're going to ask you more about those. There probably is going to be some opportunity, but expound a little bit more. What are some of these tools that the Land Geek has developed that makes my life or our intern's life much simpler?
Right. So we have a very, very simple philosophy, which is we can always make more money. We can't get more time. So anything we can do to save time, we provide our clients. So we have our own trained virtual assistants in the Philippines that will do due diligence for you. We have the software called LG Pass, the Land Geek proprietary automated software system that will automate the entire deal flow from uploading the list, having the API with Lob for your offers to go out. It's everywhere down the line. And you can have a virtual assistant in your software running your business. Then geekpay.io, which automates getting paid. So between the software, the virtual assistants, you're essentially automating this business at 90%. The other 10% that is not automated is essentially county research, which I would argue in the beginning you should do, and selling, which in the beginning I would say you should do. Now, if you're going to do your intern model, you're 100% out of it.
Yeah.
But your intern will have to do the other 10%.
I'm good at a few of those things. Hypothetically, maybe we should look at that.
We know a guy.
We know a couple guy. Guys. Well, Mark, this is awesome. Thank you so much for coming back. You're willing to come into the community and do a Q&A, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. It would be an honor, honestly, to do that. I'd really would love to, because, you know, my mission is I really believe that everybody can be wealthy, right? You guys own a house. I own a house. It doesn't mean that now there's a finite, you know, thing of houses. Like this is not a zero sum game. We can all get wealthy. Yeah. And this market is so big. You, me, we could get 1 million people in this market. We're all going to run out of money before we run out of deal flow. Because a lot of times when I first started teaching this, my wife would look at me and be like, are you sure? Like, aren't you going to create your own competition? I'm like, honey, there's no way. There's no private equity groups. There's no hedge funds. There's no big money. And it's really, besides life insurance, the best way I know of to create real wealth without headaches.
Yeah. Well, we're excited to have you a part of the community, continuing to come back, adding value. If you haven't had a chance to download his book, go to Amazon, Dirt Rich. I'm telling you, it is good. There's some great stories in there that I related with for sure. You mentioned a lot of the things, Parkinson's Law. We're a big advocate of finding ways to not consume everything that we make. And Parkinson's Law is a great one. We've done a podcast on that specific subject matter. And so anyway, thank you again, Mark, for coming on the show. Look forward to having you in the Q&A and hopefully back on the podcast at some point in the future.
Joey, Russ, I really appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
This has been the Wealth Without Wall Street podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to the show to break free of the Wall Street mindset and begin building wealth on your own terms in places you understand so that your wealth will never run dry. See you next episode.